At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Chronic.
Tick, 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 tick. Boom! Yes, the nuclear blast has finally found its way to your Meltdown Monday. And for me, sat here in Manchester, I am physically melting today. This is the hottest day of the year, and we are bringing the heat to your ears, to your visuals, to the overall feel that you guys are with us on a Monday. So thank you so much for joining us here at The Meltdown. My name is Tom Finkill, and I've got a very, very special show for you guys today because we have put the guests on hold just for 1 week because they're currently banging down our door to feature on The Meltdown, but we have put a little hold to take the spotlight that we genuinely shine on them every week. We've taken that spotlight and we're going to shine it on you. Yes, our Meltdown universe, we have put the ball in your court. We have thrown that touchdown and you have received it. Yes, you are now in control of our show because today we present the Meltdown Mailbag Special. I'm going to be posing the questions to the reason you're all here. You're ready. You're sat on the phone waiting to hear what his words are going to bring to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we give to you my tag team partner, the three-time tag team champion of the world. He's the creation of Devastation and an all-round legend. It's Brian Clark!
Thank you, Tomcat, once again. Phenomenal intro, as always. I'm excited today, man. We are doing the Meltdown Mailbag, and we have some questions from around the globe. It's not just in the UK. It's not just in the US. But in case you missed it, that man right there is the three-time UK host of the year and Guinness World Record holder. He is my tag team partner. And he is dripping in that internet gold. So I already know the answer to this question. I'm going to hit you with it anyway. Tomcat, how's it going this fine afternoon in Manchester? I know it's cooking, right?
Well, I might be dripping in that internet gold, but I'm also actually dripping inside this Dodgers jersey this afternoon. We thought we'd go retro, we go old school. And I have taken my jacket away. All our shows, I rocked the velvet jacket. And today we thought we'd shelve it to go old school. And I can see that Brian, he's rocking his WCW Monday Nitro cap. He's taking it back to the late 90s and early noughties, and we are ready to hit you hard. So yes, mate, it is. It's been another fantastic week. The sun has been shining. We're getting set to invade Turkey. That's coming up next week as well, yeah, as a family. So I'm going to be taking Harry Smith's advice. We're going to be hitting some Turkish honey and some Turkish teas and coffees. And we're going to be hitting all the gimmicks, brother. And I'm going to be sending Harry some pictures live and in person from Turkey and making him really jealous. But this week's been really good. Busy with work. Lots of wonderful things for the family side, and just getting all my planets aligned, really. Try to catch up with as much professional wrestling as possible, but there is so much out there right now. My mind is a complete blur, but we'll get all our ducks in a row and make sure that we are fully in sync with what is going on. And speaking of in sync as to what's going on, you guys have got to stick around until the end of the show because we are going to announce our SummerSlam sweepstakes winner. Oh, yeah, baby. Someone is going to walk away with a beautiful prize pack courtesy of the legend that is Brian Clark. But my week's been awesome, mate. How's your week been?
Oh, Tom, it is like you said, man. booking ain't easy, and it really has been a, as you know, we talk constantly off screen, behind the scenes, and getting, we've got some amazing people lined up, and it's good that we took this little break, one, to acknowledge our SummerSlam big time winner of the merchandise package that will be shipped right away. So yeah, man, it's just been, it's been a busy couple of weeks, and going forward, it's the same thing. We have a lot of great guests again lined up, not just pro wrestling, MMA legends. So looking forward to what we've got coming up, and I know our fans are going to love it.
Cannot wait. I'm also going to be reaching out to a couple of Hollywood stars as well that I sent Charlie to have a little chat to in Wales. So we've got that under our hat too. So keep yourselves tuned in. Same meltdown time, same meltdown channel. You know where you can get your favorite show. Well, speaking of your favorite show, that's exactly what we are lining up for you guys today. You have been sending us so many wonderful questions that we might even have to do multiple of these shows because the questions are still coming into our Instagram page. But I'm going to kick you off, Brian. Are you ready? Have you done a few flexes, brother? We're all set and ready to go. Whoosh.
I have done the ice plunge this morning. I've gotten my cardio workout in, at least half of my workout in. I'm not complete for the day, but I'm warmed up enough to see what the wonderful people in the Meltdown mailbag have for me. I'm ready.
Excellent. Right, let's kick it off. And we're going to start over in the U.S. Greenville, South Carolina is our first beautiful spots that we are going to put a pin in from Dustin Fox. Dustin has asked, in Brian's opinion, who is the best wrestling faction of all time?
Wow. Greenville, South Carolina. I know you guys are hot and humid right now. No doubt about that. Great question, Dustin. There have been so many, even prior to when I was in pro wrestling and throughout my career and my era, and then beyond that, there have been some great ones. But I have to go with what I was around and I could see what was happening during that time. I'm going to have to go with the New World Order. They're still over even currently. If you look throughout the arenas, you still see the NWO shirts. Of course, Hogan was such a huge part of that. The catalyst of it, if you want to call it that. But yeah, man, I would say the New World Order, the NWO, was running rampant through WCW and through that era. And even many, many years later, still very popular.
As you just said, I was just about to echo exactly what you just said. They are still over 30 years after their inception. Mm-hmm. That is some staying power in the world of professional wrestling.
And it all started. Yeah, it started right here.
Started right there, brother. Right, that's it.
That's part of the tie-in. There we go.
It's all about that gray matter. It's all about covering it up and making sure we are taking a little blast to the past. I love that. Beautiful. Yep. NWO. And speaking of the NWO, actually, taking us back to the past, our initial shows where we checked out some reviews from the WWE Vault and the WCW channels on YouTube, just uploaded today is the episode of WCW Monday Nitro from 1997, the day after Fall Brawl, when Kurt Hennig turned on another incredible faction, the Four Horsemen, to align himself with the NWO, honoring Hollywood Hogan with Ric Flair's robe. The production on that particular episode, the presentation, Tony Schiavone walking away from the announce desk at the start of the show, couldn't do it with too many emotions flowing through him. An absolute epic and sensational piece of television history. Go out of your way and check it. And also on that show is an absolute barn burner as other members of the NWO, the founding fathers, the outsiders, go to war in a WCW World Tag Team title match against my tag team partner, Wrath, and Chris Kanyon. Yes, Mortis, the Blood Run Cold. What a match. What a match. Do you remember that match?
I do. I do. I remember that. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. Yeah,
great time in professional wrestling. Yeah, my personal favorite year.
Yeah, we had a really good time. Good match. I think we got a lot out of it. I think we could have got a lot more out of it, but just the stories just did not align. But it was still a good time.
I thought it was fantastic the way that it was put across. Hall and Nash came down and they were very much of a mocking of Mortis and his character with all the karate stances and the moves and the way that he was portraying himself. And then they gave Chris the ball, lots of offense in there, and then it was a complete back down from the outsiders. Straight off the bat, it was epic. And then when you got the hot tag, brother, Nash. Hit the fan. It was great. Go out of your way and check it out. I'm not going to divulge everything else, but make sure you hit that this week and see exactly what kind of spectacle that man right there put on in 1997. Well, speaking of spectacles, we go to our second question. And this one is going to take the red eye from the US and land right in the West Midlands of the UK. Melissa Hudson asks you, Brian, what's your all-time favorite movie?
I did see this question earlier today during our notes session. And that's so tough, man. I mean, just to pick one. So I'm going to go a little above and beyond for you, Melissa. I'm going to give you three.
Oh, excellent. Go.
I'm going to give you three. Okay. We don't have to go into them too deep, but always when these come on, I always catch myself just like, I got to watch it, you know? So here we go. It's a surfer movie for the first one. The original Point Break.
Yeah, so that's Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, right?
Yeah, there were so many other greats in that. Tom Sizemore was one. A lot of other characters. Gary Busey, of course. A lot of greats in that one. And I just love the whole atmosphere of it. So very West Coast type thing. Then my second is a Western, which is called Open Range. Kevin Costner film.
And, 2004. Yes, again.
Yeah, that was filmed up in Calgary, Alberta area. So I'm familiar with that landscape, and just that's what part of the reason I love the movie so much is just the visuals. But it's a great story also, and it's an old school Western with a modern look, and I love it. Really love that one.
Belter, go out of your way and check that one out this week. Right, bring it home. And what's number three?
Bringing it home, I gotta throw in something that has to do something or with someone in pro wrestling, and this one has to do with Terry Funk.
I knew you were going this way. I knew you were going
a little way. Film called Roadhouse. I had to do it. Terry Funk is legendary in this film. He beats down just about everybody in the bar except Swayze. But yeah, just an old school classic, about the mid 80s, I'm guessing somewhere around that time frame.
Yeah.
And just about an old roadhouse bar and all the things that go with it. And Terry Funk did a great job. Really did.
So you actually shared a locker room with Terry in like, 99, 2000s WCW. How was Terry?
Oh, and also in Japan.
And Japan as well. Yeah. And AJPW.
Oh, I loved him. I loved him. He's a guy that could make me laugh till, you know, he was up there with Brian as far as when he starts on his stories. I laugh so hard sometimes I can't catch my breath. And I'm like, hey, I start crying. It's so funny. We'll circle back around to that one day for the mailbag. Remind the fans to tell, remind me to tell the fans about Terry Funk in Japan and Brian ribbing him about not being be able to make the bus on time to get to Narita to fly back home. So that's a good one. We're going to keep that one.
We planted those seeds now. I will definitely remind you about that one.
And it also involves a can of corn.
Okay. So for our visuals right now, I'm writing on my pad. Can you just of gotta, corn. Okay.
Yes, I know. It's a story within itself. Yes.
Okay, cool. We will circle all back right to that one. That will be an absolute dream to hear about that. Well, seeing as we have just mentioned two icons in Terry Funk and Brian Adams, we're going to send out all our positive vibes upstairs for both of those in tribute this week. Terry Funk and the legendary Brian Adams, who's always got our back. This episode is for you, gentlemen. Take a swig. Right. Speaking of Brian, we've got a very interesting question about Brian that has come in from Steve James in Reno, Nevada. Very easy question. It is only six words long.
Okay.
Tell us a Bryan Adams story.
Oh, wow. From Marino, huh?
Yeah.
There's so many. You know, when you're on the road with someone that you're riding for hours or you're flying or whatever the case may be, I know that I have a book worth of stories of Bryan. This one, like I said, I looked at a preview of the notes, and one that just sort of popped out of my head. I remember him telling me this story about him and his brother had bought a dirt bike, a motorcycle, you know, and they had it like in a little sunroom. Bryan, of course, Kona, Hawaii, living there with his mom and his brother, and they had this motorcycle, and they had it in this little sunroom. And I wish I could tell the story as well as Bryan did, because I don't hold a candle to it, but I can just give you some tent poles of the story. But I remember him telling me that they fired the motorcycle up, so they got it running, right? Just ring, ring, ring. And somehow Bryan gave it too much juice, and it went straight through the glass sliding doors.
Oh,
just,
no.
Yeah, just shattered everything. And him and his brother's like, "What?" First of all, they were okay. No injuries or anything. But they were like, "Oh, my God, mom is going to kill us. What are we going to do?" So they managed to get all the glass cleaned up, okay, get a repairman out to their house and replace the glass sliding doors before his mom got home from work.
Wow, that's dedication.
Now, so here's the catcher. It's like, okay, so they're thinking, okay, we did it. We got away with this. Oh, man, I, you know. So a month goes by, a couple of months go by. So mom is vacuuming the carpet by the edge of where the glass sliding door is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vacuum. Well, I guess when the accident happened, glass went everywhere, and including under the edge of that. So she peels that carpet back, and there's glass everywhere. So he's totally busted.
Busted, man.
I don't know the full consequences of what happened, but either way, moral of the story is you never can hide everything from mom. She's going to get you sooner or later. But that was one of, you know, there's always the wrestling stories of Bryan, but then there's the family stuff that most people just don't get to hear. But who else drives a motorcycle through the glass sliding windows and then gets out of it, no injuries, and then tries to clean it up and get away with it?
Teflon coated Bryan Adams. Yeah, that's what it is. What a story, man. That was great. That was, and this is what we like to hear on the Meltdown. Yeah. We like to shine that spotlight, go under the microscope just a little bit, and find out a little bit more about our beloved heroes. So brilliant. How old do you reckon Bryan was at that particular time? He's got to be what, mid teens, late teens?
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
I think his brother was a couple of years older than him. So I bet he was probably 16, 17, something like that.
Okay, cool. So
I'm sure that his brother had a big part of getting everything to get put back together.
You know? And he should have known better. That's the way you are leading younger brothers down very bad paths. What a story. Excellent, excellent portrayal of someone that we hold near and dear to our hearts. Beautiful. Well, you mentioned Kona, Hawaii, one of the most incredible cities in the world, one of the most beautiful islands in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Our next question actually comes from one of the most spectacular continents in the world. This is from Australia, Perth, Australia, to be exact. Wow. Jeremy Blackmore asks, can Bryan name his top three best cities with the best gyms in the world? You visited
Wow.
so many, mate. Tell us some of your favorite cities.
Wow, what a great question. So the question is the best cities that had a great workout facility, gym, every all-inclusive kind of thing.
Well, yeah, well, I guess that's what you see, guys.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll start with, of course, the Mecca. You have to go with Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Gold's Gym. It's legendary. Exactly. Home of the Dodgers and LA and fitness and back to the days of Schwarzenegger, all the classic physiques, all the Mr. Olympias trained at this gym throughout the years, the decades. It's still open today. It's a great place. That would be number one, I would think, just for the fact of the legendary status that it is.
Made the list. It's made the list. I feel like it's Jericho
made,
right now.
Made the list. So there's one. The second one, I'm going to have to go. I, I, where the question came from, Australia.
Nice.
And I'm going to say Sydney. There's a Gold's Gym in Sydney that almost overlooks, or at the time we were there, almost, I don't know if it's still in that same location. It may still be, but it overlooked the Sydney Harbor. And so just great. It had everything, great views. It had a boardwalk, you know, had
how
everything.
How picturesque, gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you work out and it, beautiful views. A third one, I would probably have to say, and I really cannot go with a specific city, but I'll go with Germany. There were some great places in Germany that had some of the larger cities, of course, Berlin, Hamburg. Some of those big cities had great places to work out. They had the fantastic tanning beds back in the day. You know, you would tan for like 6 minutes and you would just have a golden tan, you know?
Hogan-esque.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody gets that much color.
That's mahogany, right?
Oh yeah, man. He lived on the beach. So I would say those three.
Brilliant. Well, they are epic answers. So we've gone from LA over the Pacific to Sydney, and we've rocked it in the middle of Europe in Germany, all with spectacular gyms. But one question, did they rock Mark Morrison and did you dance in all three of those gyms? And for those of you that might be wondering what I'm talking about, yes, head on over to Brian's X page, his Instagram or his TikTok, and you'll see the big man dance a little bit to some 90s old school R&B. Love that.
When it hits you, man. So I would have, if it would have blasted through the big speakers, of course I would have. If you want to see that, me doing that, that's inside the bomb shelter here in Arizona, in Tucson, at my home gym. So check that out. Always having fun. You gotta feel it, man.
Well, as my neighbor quite rightly put to me, he's an 80-year-old gentleman, and he I was putting the wheelie bins out the other morning, and he had a little chat with me, and he's got some bandaging on his arm. And I was like, "You okay?" He was like, "I got my first tattoo yesterday." Yeah, man. So he lifted it up. He's got a joker, a jester, and underneath it says, "Life is for living."
Oh, so, wow.
Whatever makes you happy, man. He's already planning the second. So good on you, Ian. Go for it, brother. Love that. Well, let's carry on. Let's carry on. And seeing as I've just touched upon my hometown, there has been a question sent from not far away from my hometown, Warrington in Cheshire, about 20 miles away from where I am right now. Paul Sixsmith asks the question, if you could attend a dinner party with any five celebrities, who would you like them to be?
Oh, great question. Great question. Again, I did look this over a little bit earlier because I wanted to be able to give you five that I thought would work for me. Again, this is me now. So I would go with Arnold.
Yep.
I would go with Kevin Costner, who I mentioned earlier, Open Range. I would go with Stallone. Mm-hmm. So there's three. Four, I would go with Liam Neeson. Fantastic actor and celebrity. Just like he's been able to have such a long career. And then I've got to have some comedy. So I don't know if everyone in the world in UK is familiar with Jerry Stiller, but he plays the father on King of Queens. Arthur Spooner is his name on the show. But yeah, I think he's hilarious, and he can always bring a smile to my face. And so I would have to have some comedy at the dinner. So that would be my five. That would be my five. My
beautiful. Five. Yes. Jerry Stiller's great. Ben Stiller's dad for those.
Yes, of course.
Don't know. But yeah, legendary comedy in King of Queens. Brilliant in the late 90s and early noughties. We've got Arnie. We've got Costner. We've got Stallone. We've got Neeson. Pamela Anderson's current beau, Liam Neeson. Doing well. Himself. We like that. Yeah. That is like the Expendables 6, that particular lineup. Loving it. Feel slightly slanted that you didn't include me on the list, but that's by the by. We'll go to the next question. No heat, brother. No heat. This
all right, no heat.
Question from Ruby Sanchez in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
How were you approached to have your own Jack's Pacific Adam Bomb Classic Superstars action figure? We can actually see it in the background.
Yeah. They reached out to me through social media. And I think, I don't really know the deal because it was very, like they would tried to track down the people that they wanted in the line. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'd have to look and see who's all in the back of that. But yeah, it was, wasn't through WWE per se, like all the other stuff. It was a different situation. I'm not quite sure how they did it. But I was just reached out through email, social media, and we agreed upon a deal, and that's sort of how it came about. So I'm sure there, I think everyone had a different deal, it seemed to me. So yeah, I never thought about it. I hadn't been asked that question in a long time.
Yeah. So, and it's a great figure, great looking figure.
Oh, it does really look good. Yep. And by, for, we're talking figures, Title Run Toys, by the way, the new Wrath, two versions of the new Wrath's out. We have two versions of Juventud Guerrera. You know, there's a series one, five new superstars in that package. So, and more to come, by the way.
Excellent. Well, you have segued that beautifully, good sir, because you literally took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the colors on the Jack Specific Atom Bomb truly pop, but not as much as the Title Run Toys do with the new Wrath figures. You got two different variants, two different outfits, and a name that you just dropped there in Juventud Guerrera. We might have a nice little special surprise lined up for our Meltdown viewers in the coming weeks. But speaking of Juvie, a question that I've got for you as I work my way down the list. Lee Dickinson from Marietta, Georgia asks, what was your experience like working against luchadors and athletes that were smaller in size to you?
Good question. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. All the luchadors were so well-trained, and they were understanding the U.S. American psychology. That was all coming around because, you know, in Mexico, it's a lot different. But they were getting on board with what we were doing in the U.S. And they were just fantastic to work with. I mean, Psicosis, Viano, Juvi, Rey Mysterio, everybody that we worked with loved it. And then other cruiserweights, American cruiserweights, Billy Kidman, a lot of different guys we work with, always fun and very creative, telling, you know, the big man, smaller man story, you know, the David and Goliath type thing. And the psychology was always on point, and everything, the high flying stuff they would do. I would almost prefer working a cruiserweight than I would a heavyweight.
I always remember, not necessarily a luchador, but I remember, and taking it back to the Atom Bomb days, you were part of a Survivor Series team, and it was lots of big men, and it was against lots of, what we can't even call them smaller individuals, because they are bigger than us, but I remember it was yourself and Sean Waltman, the 1-2-3 kid, right. And how he bumped around the ring for you. It was a visual feast for our eyes. It was amazing. You were cheering on the underdog baby face against the big monster heel, and it just looks so visually appealing. We really did love that, and it's just such a beautiful contrast in professional wrestling that there are spots and spaces on rosters for people of every different size. It is a fully inclusive community, I do feel, especially now. Even in the 90s, it was fully inclusive. So luchadors have very much got their place and have got themselves solidified in the hearts of so many around the world for their ability to tell stories at an amazingly fast pace. Well, we might be divulging as to who one of our guests is going to be very, very, very soon, but I don't want to drop the bomb just yet. We've got a few more questions lined up for you, and then we've got our Mount Rushmore, and we've also got our winner stays on. Speaking of Mount Rushmore, let's do this now. Come from Michelle Gomez out of Orlando, Florida, my favorite holiday destination, and we will be back in 2026. Brian, can you give me your Mount Rushmore of current female pro wrestlers? So before I let you answer, I've jotted down my four. You're going to pose your four first, and I think we're going to mash up on three. Let's see.
Wow.
I think we're going all in, mate. I'm not taking the loss again. Let's go.
Okay. I think you will do quite well. I don't know if you're going to get three. So here we go. Rhea Ripley is number one.
Oh, yeah.
Charlotte Flair, number two.
Woo!
Chelsea Green, number three.
Woo! Yes!
Stephanie Valcour. 4.
Amazing.
What'd you get?
I'm kicking myself because I really want to take one of mine out and put Chelsea Green in because I feel like she needs that place. But
yeah.
I've sent this now to the stonemasons who are currently carving my Mount Rushmore as we speak.
There you go.
How many did we get? 1.
I think we got just one, huh?
Just one, brother.
So
just
you,
one.
No Charlotte. Wow.
No Charlotte, no. As wow. much as I truly appreciate what she can do, I think she's a hell of a talent in the ring. She would probably be maybe 6th on my list.
All right, okay. Tell me your 4.
Okay. Of course, we're starting with Mommy. Rhea Ripley, numero uno. She's taking the spot there on the left-hand side.
Okay.
We're going to move a little bit down the line to the man, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch in number 2 spot. Can't argue with that, right?
Can't argue with that.
Made a spectacular return and is now truly elevating other talent on the women's mid-card, pulling that role as Intercontinental Champion that so many wonderful superstars did throughout the course of the lineage of the IC title. Elevating it even more, bringing people like Lyra Valkyria up to that next standard, which is what we like to see. So we've got Rhea, we've got Becky, number 3 spot. Liv Morgan.
Oh yeah, she's actually, I guess I didn't think about her because she's on the shelf for a little while. But yeah, very deserving. Yes.
Yes. I think the way that the storyline has flowed between Dominic and Liv is like that Shrek onion. There are so many layers to that. I think that what she brings to the table in terms of visual appealment, like we were just talking about, is excellent. I think the timing is sensational. I think that she adds to every TV show that she is on. So that was one of the solidifying factors for my number 3. And number 4, I took a view out of the WWE, and I am so glad that I didn't sort of pigeonhole myself with that section, because there is one that should be numero uno. She should be the top of Mount Everest, because as everybody knows, she is timeless. Toni Storm takes the 4th spot. I felt that she is breaking through so many glass ceilings right now and truly excelling. So there's my 4, mate. There's my 4. What do you reckon? All good?
Yes, yeah. Every one of them worthy, no doubt.
Good. Excellent. Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Michelle. You would also have made it onto our Mount Rushmore, I'm sure. However, we could only put 4. You would have been number 5. So thank you so much for the message. We've got one more. Let's take a look. Andy Cohen out of Boston, Massachusetts, asks, what were your initial impressions upon meeting Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff?
Initially, I would say with Vince, I was on guard. I really was. And I just sort of continued to be. There was always that feeling out process with the initial meeting, because you never know what's being pitched to you and how this can affect your career. Upon meeting Eric, much more relaxed, very much more at ease. I remember we met at a sports bar, you know, in a private area. And it was just so much easier working with Eric, dealing with Eric, talking with Eric one-on-one. I felt he had a plan and what we were going to do. So a lot different of scenarios and feelings between the two.
Like night and day, I guess, then. It was
almost, yeah, because you want, if you're going into business with someone, you want to sort of know what direction they're going and how you feel about that relationship. So that's sort of where I was at.
1,000%. You want to know that they've got your back and they've got all good interests at heart, and from how they're going to give you that perception on television and throughout the world as they're giving you a showcase to perform, you want to know that they're going to be upholding their end of the bargain as well. When you first met Vince, was it just a one-on-one or was there a crew with Vince? Do you remember?
I think maybe Shane was with him. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, I think we actually met at an arena. I didn't go to his house like a lot of guys do, or at somewhere in Stanford. I was not flown to the office. I would go to the office many times later throughout my career. But our initial meetings, I think the way I time scheduled, it just worked that I had already signed my contract, already been given the character, and we met at the arena.
That's so, really interesting. Oh, yeah, well, thank you very much for sharing that.
Here's a little nugget for you. I remember I was stretching and I was doing like the hurdler stretch, and I had my leg against this very big, some type of equipment that they used to clean. It was like something they used to clean the truck, the arena floors with. Anyway, my leg was on that. And he was talking to me as I was stretching. I almost broke the damn thing with a big pound. He's like, cause he already knew my gimmick. He's like, oh, total destruction. You know, whatever it was, I was leaning on, almost broke it. So, yeah,
that's a beautiful story. Oh, I love that.
It's weird. You remember, it's weird that some of the things you remember, but that was one of them.
Yeah. Could you imagine that the bill would have come in from that arena for thousands of dollars on your first?
It wasn't that bad. It just made a loud noise. So I probably got away with one there.
Welcome to the party, pal. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, pal.
Yeah. Awesome. Love that. Okay. We've got to that point. We're going to hit you with winner stays on. Seeing as we were just talking about the women's intercontinental title and how much that's been elevated by Becky Lynch, we're going to pose you your favorite greatest intercontinental champions, a title that we as fans always felt that Adam Bomb should have had strapped around his waist. So if you're ready, those hands have just made an appearance.
Uh-oh, it's time.
It's time, okay. Brother. Let's get ready to tick, 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 boom with the greatest intercontinental champions in history. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious. I've sent you a couple of names, but I've added some in as well. Let's see what we've got. Brian Clark, winner stays on. Let's begin. Greatest intercontinental champions, the Honky Tonk Man or Chris Jericho?
Chris Jericho.
Honky Shake rattled and rolled himself out of competition. Jericho or Santino Marella?
Oh, love Santino, but I got to stick with Jericho.
Get snake bit. Jericho or the Macho Man, Randy Savage?
Oh, wow. Love them both. I got to go with Randy. Switch it up.
No for Jericho. Randy takes it in. Randy or Gunter?
Oh, Gunter, 666 days as your Intercontinental Champion. One of my favorites. But he cannot take down Randy.
Elbow drop does him. Randy or Pat Patterson?
Randy.
Randy or The Miz?
Randy.
Randy or Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig?
Oh, wow. I knew that was coming. Damn.
This is a tough
one. Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig.
Of course he's going over. He's perfect, plexed the madness out of his tasseled boots. Oh. Mr. Perfect or The Rock?
Mr. Perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll play the game now. Mr. Perfect. I gotta go with... Or Razor Ramon?
Mr. Perfect.
Perfect or Edge?
Perfect.
Let's roll this. Perfect or one of my new favorites, Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Perfect.
I feel like spitting that gum away. Mr. Perfect or the very first women's intercontinental champion whilst it was a men's title, Perfect or China?
Gotta go perfect.
The ninth wonder of the world has been toppled. Perfect or Triple H?
Perfect.
Perfect or Shawn Michaels?
Perfect.
Perfect or Ziggler?
Perfect.
Perfect or Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, hell no. Perfect.
That is absolutely perfect. You are over with me, brother. Cheers, cheers. Man.
Wow. That was tough. We should have hit our guests with that one. Wow.
Well, we hit our guests with a winner stays on every week. So now I know, we know how and tough now it is, man.
I know what they're feeling because it was hard to beat Randy. It was hard to beat Gunther. Wow. What a ride.
Now you know that blood is pumping just a little bit faster. The hairs on the back of your neck are stood up. There is a trickle of sweat running down your lower back right now. and we have gone over in the perfect way. Yes, wow. Mr. Perfect, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. That was when my fandom began. 1991, Perfect was the IC champ going into his match at SummerSlam against Bret the Hitman Hart. For those of you that have never seen it, go out your way to watch that this week as well. That is another masterclass in professional wrestling, a true classic. And from one legend to another, we've already honored two this week. Kurt, boom, as always, this one's for you.
You know, and Kurt was a wonderful person, not just in the ring, but outside the ring, in the locker room. Great to travel with. I traveled with Kurt. Another guy always had me laughing. Love being around him. So cheers, my friend.
Cheers, brother. Cheers, cheers. Well, we're going to wrap this episode up in a nice big bow with another massive cheers. As we alluded to at the beginning of the broadcast, we have got a winner for our SummerSlam sweepstakes. Oh, yes. That prize package is coming straight out of the bomb shelter. We asked you to give us your guess for how many fans were going to be in attendance for SummerSlam weekend. We needed the Saturday and Sunday pooling together to give us a total figure. The actual figure was 113,722. 113,722. And our winner with the nearest guess of 129,500 straight out of Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Matthew. Congratulations,
big time, my man. We will be sending you a prize package your way. Make sure you get that address information sent to the Tomcat, and we will get it in the mail right away.
We want to see pictures as soon as it lands, Jerry. Yes, I'm going to be reaching out to you right now to get your all your vital details, because you gave us the vital detail we asked for and you were nearest to the pin. So congratulations on that. Congrats, we will be coming back at you with another beautiful sweepstake, probably around Survivor Series time. I think if we nail it with like the big four, the big five.
That's what we're looking at. And San Diego, California is the big Survivor Series. So that would be a great time to do another giveaway. So everyone in the Meltdown mailbag, make sure you send in when we get ready for that. We will make sure to get your guests and we will proceed and give you another big, massive, free merchandise package from the bomb shelter.
Oh, and these have been classic. For those that we've already given out, the images that have come back and the love that is being shared all around the world. You don't just have to be in the US to play. You can be anywhere around the world. Has been epic. Families have been united with our prize packs, and it's just a pleasure getting all the wonderful guesses that you send through to our Instagram page. Speaking of our Instagram page, please log on to your Instagram and hit us up at The Meltdown Official. You can follow Brian at Brian Clark 3X Champ. You can follow me at Tom Finn Kill. You can hit us all up on our YouTube page. Obviously, for our viewers that are watching right now, you know where it's at. For those of you with your audio senses tingling, listening via podcast, hit us up at Real Brian Clark on YouTube. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook. You can find him rocking it and yeeting on TikTok. Oh, yeah, baby. We are all about the socials. Well, Brian, it's been an awesome Meltdown mailbag special. I've loved it. What were your impressions of our very first opening of the fan mail?
I loved it. You know, getting the with the winter stays on, that was really exciting. So many legends going through that. Great questions, not just in the UK, not just in the US, from Australia, around the world. You guys were fantastic. Keep the questions coming, because I'm sure we're going to do more of these segments. And again, it's just a chance to tell stories and then also look at legends of yesterday and today, and even legends of the future right here. Every Monday, we do it.
You know what we do? I'm going to lay it up for you, because one hand goes up, the other hand comes up. As we wrap everything up in a nice big bow, Brian's going to hit that stance and nail us with the most famous line in pro wrestling history. But from me here in Manchester, thank you so much. Keep your eyes peeled to our page, because we've got some big things coming. We'll see you next week. A boom.
And we will be here next Monday and every Monday doing what we do best, breaking necks and cashing checks.
A boom.